There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it. There you go. With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 1055, the 5th of August, 2024. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say Alpine has a new man at Alpine. Red Bull gives wings. Three F1 races in the US. How about three American-owned F1 teams? We shall explain very gladly. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Renault leaving Formula One is a bigger deal than people understand. So, apparently, McLaren acquired the Red Bull How to Go Fast secrets from a former Red Bull employee. Espionage, anybody? Fernando has been told there is no hope at Aston Martin for at least another year or longer. Say it, Fernando. Say it. This week's interviews, former Alfa Romeo mechanic Renato. We have Adrian Fernandez of IndyCar fame, of course. And Bruno Senna. And I just want to mention that we do need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. And I want to thank Joshua Sutter for his help. Keep up the good work, Joshua. Nasser, I'm sure you're pumped up with all the Olympics and Parisian sights on the television. What say you?
What say moi? Well, good news is, yesterday we had hurricane situation and heavy rainfall, but now the Florida sunshine is out, so we are feeling good. But we are waiting for motor racing. But, you know, this season has started with a lot of excitement, surprises, and I think it's just going to keep on going and giving. And I think the Christmas present we will all get will be the news that Max is joining Mercedes. But now we have a new situation at Alpine. The Willie Horton revolving door continues. Mr. Bruno Foma was going to step aside, so now they have hired Oliver Oakes. He is currently owner of the high-tech team, which is active and doing well in junior Formula in Europe. And Oliver is ex-karting champion, and once upon a time, like many young talented drivers, was a Red Bull Junior. And as we all know, that Boulevard of Dreams goes all the way from Milton Keynes to Graz. But that's another story. Ollie is also BFF. Now, this is very important for the future of this team. He is BFF with the Mazepin familia, who come from Russia with love of Formula One and fistful of dollars. But wait, there's more. Signor Flavio Briatore is special advisor to Renault Group CEO, who is his paisan, Luca Di Meo. And Briatore never met a billionaire he did not like. Whether they are from Russia or Rwanda, he don't care. Show me the money and I will bring you a Grand Prix to your destination city, even if it is as Yahoo as Baku. That is the MO of Signor Flavio. Word on the street and in the paddock is Alpine is getting ready to unload the team, despite repeated denials from Signor Di Meo. And denial is the favorite game in corporations all over the world. I mean, how many times? It's like OJ saying, I'm innocent, absolutely, positively, when we know the result. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are saying that they are shutting down their engine program because it will be easier to sell the team and it will bring a lot more dineros if it has a Mercedes engine than a GP3 engine. What say you on this situation, Monsieur?
I think it's terrible. I mean, they brought turbo to Formula One. Renault invented the pneumatic valves that everybody uses now as standard equipment in Formula One. People like Senna, Schumacher, Alonso, all machismo because of Renault. So, and Vettel, you know, a lot of, I think it's just a terrible thing. But as some people say, all good things must end. Right, Max?
Yes. And, you know, on the other hand, people are lay pissed off in Viry-Châtillon. Now, as you know, this is the home base of Renault Motorsport Engine Program. Now, there's this lady, Karine Dubrec, and I apologize if I'm butchering her name. She's a union representative at the Viry-Châtillon site, and my understanding is French, you know, workers' unions are very strong. So anyway, she said in an interview to L'Equipe, and I quote, "We didn't see it coming. It's a stab in the back, a betrayal. We have developed engines here capable of being F1 champions 12 times, and now we can't anymore. They didn't even wait for the first test bench," end quote. Well, like you said, as sad as this may be, nothing flies forever, just as Pan Am World Airways. Their globe-trotting days also came to an end. Speaking of flying, now this was another quite a surprise for me, especially as I had met the gentleman and I had a brief chat with him. And we are talking about Mr. Jonathan Wheatley, of course. Red Bull gives you wings, this time to Jonathan Wheatley, who is flying away to be under the wings of Captain Binotto at Audi. I had a brief encounter with Mr. Wheatley at the Miami Grand Prix, and I was with a journalist, young journalist, and the subject of Adrian Newey leaving Red Bull was brought up. And it just was a casual conversation. And he said with a smile, "But I'm going nowhere," and walked away, which was fine. And a few minutes later, he came back and said, "I didn't realize you were media, so what I just said is off the record." And, you know, we're not into ambush journalism, so we have kept this off the record till now. But now the cat is out of the bag, and soon the mad dog may also be out of the bag. Christian Horner is hopeful he will have a winning crusade in 2025 and 2026, but his hope is spelled M-A-X. If that hope is gone, Red Bull should get a new sponsor in Avis Rental Cars with their old wonderful slogan, "We're number two, we try harder." So, that's the way it's going. And now, I just read a few minutes ago, you know, his engineer GP Giampiero Lambiase, that he may be going out the door also. So things are not looking good for five in a row. Four in a row is no problem, but five in a row may be a struggle, but time will tell. And sir, in Formula One, no one works harder than Eddie Jordan and Clark Rogers, and Mr. Jordan is not afraid to show his feelings. And this is what he had to say on Ollie's project. That's Oliver Oakes. I quote, "To build a car, to run it out of Switzerland with manufacturing, it's a big, big, big ask. When did you last see a Swiss or a German-based team win a world title?" End quote. Hiring of senior and successful people like Mattia Binotto and Jonathan Wheatley is a strong statement from Audi. They are serious about their F1 involvement. Alan McNish is an advisor to Audi on this project. He saw at Toyota what management by remote control can do to an F1 project despite Godzilla heavy funding. Audi's winning pedigree go back 100 years to the days of Auto Union. They were uberly successful in WRC with Audi Quattro and set new winning standards at Le Mans. Their success in Formula One will not be an overnight FedEx delivery, but I am convinced if they stay the course, they will be successful. In Binotto, Wheatley, Hulkenberg, and hopefully another good driver and some other good personnel, they will have the package. Delivery is expected in due course of time. What say you, sir?
Yeah, I think it does point to Audi being serious because there was a little bit of infighting and a lot of people were looking and going, what's really going on at Audi? especially Carlos Sainz. So they had to do something, and Wheatley is what they did, and it's legit, and I'm happy for Audi. I'm still struggling with Carlos Sainz's decision to go to Williams. I keep thinking about that, and a lot of people are going, he should have went to Audi. So yeah, I think they're going to do fine. And you're right. I mean, Red Bull is going to lose more personnel, but that happens. I mean, Ferrari's also losing personnel. I mean, it's just part of the Formula One game.
You know, Carlos Sainz's situation, I agree with what you said. Do you think he took advice from the most successful Spanish driver in the history of Formula One as a career advice?
No, I don't think so, because Carlos and Fernando, I'm sure, are honest with each other. Carlos drove at McLaren post-Fernando, and he knows all the backstories. These people know each other. No, I think he was really struggling to come to terms. Longevity, he wanted a good paycheck, and I don't know. I mean, I keep reading that Vols showed him some secret data that proves that they're serious, and that Mercedes motor, which makes the McLaren very fast, but apparently not the Williams, they'll be in the top five shortly. So I don't know, but I know one thing. Norris is pretty much saying, well, he should have went to Red Bull, but we'll miss him on the podium, that's for sure.
Yes, and sir, speaking of McLaren, they are enjoying Stella, and they're going to continue to enjoy Stella, and that is Andrea Stella, not Stella Artois. Andrea's contract has been extended at McLaren. This is good news for both sides. I will not be surprised if a McLaren driver wins a championship next year, but we have to wait for 2025. Andrea started at Ferrari as performance engineer for Michael Schumacher and was then performance engineer for his replacement, Kimi Raikkonen, who won on his Ferrari debut in Melbourne and also won the championship in 2007. And Andrea has been at McLaren since 2015, so this is all very good. And sir, now we come to the latest saga from Otmar Szafnauer. He was, I think a few days ago or maybe last week, interviewed on, you remember James Allen, the commentator and who has written many books?
Indeed.
Yeah, he has a podcast now, and Otmar Szafnauer was on that podcast and talking about, you know, different things, how decisions are made at teams on which driver to take and how much of the budget should go on new technology and car development compared to driver. So it's an interesting conversation. And then he also mentioned, stating very clearly, it's not Andretti team, that he is talking to a group of investors in North America who are interested in fielding a 11th team in Formula One. Obviously, not much information was given, but there is no shortage of billionaires in US of A, especially New York City and San Francisco and LA areas. So I will not be surprised if we see some, you know, one of the senior board members of Walmart, of the Walton family, he is a huge, huge Formula One fan. So I look forward to an American-owned team which has some serious funding and is interested in winning, not just making the PC statements we have these days, like this team from Roden from New Zealand. Their regret was in not getting the F1 franchise that they were going to go put Jamie Chadwick in that car. Oh, boy. So this is all good. And I don't know what's going on with the Andretti situation. It's looking more and more likely, because they're not going to just turn around and agree on giving him a slot unless Department of Justice comes down heavy on Liberty Media. And these things take a lot of time. But it would be nice if he can buy into a team, you know, whether it's Williams or... There are not many opportunities available, but I think with this guy, Oliver Oakes, being appointed and Flavio being involved, this team will be sore, and Flavio likes billionaires more than millionaires, so we'll see how that goes. Would you have any comment on this, sir?
Well, yes. I mean, I hope it gets sold, and of course, I can't imagine what Michael Andretti's thinking when he read the same article you read and heard about this American Formula One conglomerate hoping for a slot. I mean, it's got to be infuriating, but apparently Liberty has a chip on their shoulder about Michael.
The chip has moved from Tampa to Colorado?
Correct. He's a busy guy.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Well, the best part was that, you know, this gentleman who is CEO of Liberty Media F1 program, and when they were promoting the big race in Vegas, you know, this was months before the race. Of course, they had a big event there. And this lady who was the MC, she introduced Craig Maffei as the CEO of Liberty Mutual.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Yes, America loves Liberty, whether it's Liberty Mutual or Liberty Media. Okay, sir, speaking of big money, we come to money matters. Audi, they have announced BP, previously known as British Petroleum, they will be their fuel supplier. If you are driving on the Autobahn in Deutschland, über alles, a common sight is the Aral gas station. They are part of the BP group, as is Castrol and several other companies. You know, they own a lot of companies around the world in different brands, with different brands. And when they had that, you know, little problem in the Gulf of Mexico, then they had to unload a lot of their operations. They unloaded their operations in Pakistan to your people, Total. So now if you go to Karachi, you'll see Total Energy everywhere. Okay, more money matters. McLaren to master the moment. As we all know, Zak Brown is the King Kong of sponsorship. After the tie-up of Visa with RB Cash App, it did not take too long for McLaren and Zak Brown to get MasterCard on board as one of the many, many sponsors. I am not even sure where they will put this name on that car, but this is good news for McLaren and Formula One. One thing is for sure with race-winning McLaren team, this will be no MasterCard Lola. Because in that case, Lola did not get what she wanted. Are you interested in seeing some particular sponsors like Facom or Sev Marshall in Formula One, sir?
Well, unfortunately, Marshall doesn't exist anymore. And Facom, great company. It's interesting that you brought that up. I was trying to repair my Facom Ratchet, a J161-L.
Interesting. Yeah, we need some big companies, you know. It will be nice, you know, if some American company gets involved, whether it's Mobil Oil, you know, they already are there. But especially like a AT&T or Walmart or McDonald's, and they make a requirement to, you know, hire an American guy, American driver. But of course, he has to be competitive. Because, you know, if you have a competitive driver and he's not under pressure like Nelson Piquet Jr. was or Alex Albon or Pierre Gasly at Red Bull, then these people, if you give them enough time, 2-3 years, they'll probably get up to speed. Not everybody can get up to speed in the third or fourth race of Formula One.
Yeah, I agree with that because unfortunately Formula One doesn't allow enough testing. So that's really the only way to do it. The problem is, you know, 2 or 3 years is expensive in Formula One, so... Anyway, yeah, Logan Sargeant will be available at the end of the year, Nasser.
There you go. Okay, sir, before we go take a break here, I understand you're going to your motherland. Would you like to share some information on that, if that's okay?
Oh, I'm just flying into Bordeaux to visit family.
I will be attending the races in Angoulême, Circuit sur les Remparts d'Angoulême. Should be very exciting. Historic races, of course. So there you have it.
Good. And when are you flying out?
September 2nd.
A return journey, sir?
On the 17th, sir.
On the 17th. Very good. Very good. So that's fantastic. Okay, so shall we take a break now, sir?
Absolutely, sir. While we spin a couple of records for the people, we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hi, I'm Elio Castroneves, four-time Indy 500 champion, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And let's take a trip down memory lane. You know, in May, I was at Monaco for the Monaco Historics, which takes place every 2 years. And it was a lot of celebration of Ayrton Senna. Most of his cars were there. Different people were driving different cars. Stefan Johansson was there driving his Tolman from 1984. Bruno Senna was there driving one of the McLaren Hondas. And it, again, like anything else, long march here, there, everywhere. I tried every which way to reach out to Bruno Senna, could not connect with him. And then finally I met my friend, Mr. Marx Granados, who used to be manager of Esteban Gutierrez. And we have stayed in touch all these years. And we run into each other at Daytona and some other track. And he was kind enough to get an interview with Adrian Fernandez, because he's working with him. And Adrian Fernandez raced here for many years and also won a few races. So as I'm waiting downstairs, and this is like, you know, where the pit lane is in that building where all the VIPs go. So I'm on the ground waiting for Marx Granados to come out so he can take me to the VIP area to interview Adrian Fernandez. And guess who comes out? Bruno Senna. And, you know, I've met him several times. We've interviewed him a few times. He has always been very, very polite. And I said, man, I know you're busy. Can we do a quick question, a quick Q&A situation? And he said, absolutely. And so this is that conversation with Bruno Senna. He was very happy to be there, a celebration of his uncle's great career. So I thank him. And after that, we will later in the show, we will also have a conversation with Adrian Fernandez. So Bruno Senna, obrigado once again.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Monaco with Bruno Senna. Bruno, good to see you again. How are you?
Very good. Great to be here.
Wonderful display of your uncle's racing cars. Any particular car that has special memories for you?
I mean, each of these cars has incredible history, and they're all like super important for Ayrton's career and what he achieved. I love the McLarens because I grew up watching them. Lotus time, I was a bit younger, so you know I saw a lot of Ayrton's success with the McLarens. This one with the V10 engine, you know, it's like music. So I love driving it, and this car is running so smooth. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I followed your uncle's career from Formula 4 days, so I'm loving all these cars. I love the Segafredo Candy Tolman Turbo. I am sure you know how this car was driven here by your uncle in the 1984 Monaco Grand Prix. Your thoughts on that race?
For sure. I mean, I think that race was a huge stepping stone for Ayrton to show off what he was able to do. We saw his magic in the rain, I think, for the first time then. And he was almost a winner on his very first year of Formula 1, which is not something you do all the time. But the car is here, and I've seen it run a few times. It's such a cool car as well, very different from what we have nowadays. And as you see the years go on, the technology changes and the cars become more and more sort of close to what we have now.
Yep. We also have a number 9 DAP go-kart. Can you share with us some memories of getting go-kart lessons from your uncle?
Yeah, it was really cool. Ayrton was not someone who used to teach me by telling me what to do. He was always trying to show me what to do. So he would, you know, he would try to force me to go around the outside of him, and then he would just push me off the track and blocking, defending. It was quite a lot of fun. So we had a really good time playing together in the go-karts.
As you can see here and also globally, there is a lot of love and respect for your Ayrton Senna, even now all over the world. What does that mean to you and your family?
You know, it's amazing that 30 years on after he passed, he's still so present with us. And of course, it means that the fans, the people that watched him, they had this such a strong connection with him that they passed it on to their kids and their grandkids even. So 30 years on, he's still as strong as ever. And we believe that it's great because he's a great influence in the world with his values, with his humanity. And we hope that he can still affect people in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruno, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Back to you, Nasser.
Okay, sir. Over the weekend, we did not have a lot of racing. If there is no Formula One racing, it basically no racing. You know what I'm saying? But there was some other action going on around the world. So we shall go to Finlandia, Rally Finlandia. Oh, what a feeling. Local lad Kalle Rovanperä dominated the event, but shortly before the end of the rally, he did a rollover Beethoven in his Yaris, and that was the end of his winning symphony. The baton and victory was picked up by his Toyota teammate, Monsieur, your fellow Français, Sébastien Ogier. Then we had British MotoGP at the Stone, Silverstone, that is. 10 different winners in as many races in the British MotoGP. Sunday's winner was Enea Bastianini. His nickname is The Beast. Jorge Martin was second with Francesco, also known as Pecco Bagnaia, third man on the podium. Marc Marquez was fourth. In the championship, Jorge Martin leads the championship with 241 points. Bagnaia is second, 238 points. And race winner Bastianini is third on 192. Next round is the Austrian MotoGP at the Red Bull Ring on August 18th. And Mr. Rogers, you know, if all goes well, I will be meeting Giacomo Agostini on Monday after the Italian Grand Prix in his hometown, Bergamo. So I'm doing some research on MotoGP, going through some books and magazines and videos. And I'm going to tell you, man, MotoGP is just so beautiful. And I have now decided to attend at least a couple of MotoGP events next year. I went to the MotoGP race at Laguna Seca a few times and I had a great time. So hopefully next year there'll be some MotoGP in our portfolio. Okay, this you will be interested in, sir. I'm not sure if I said this, but next round is the Austrian MotoGP at the Red Bull Ring on August 18th. Now, here is the big news from Silverstone MotoGP. There is a machismo in Moto3. His name is David Alonso, and he was leading the race in the late stages, but was then passed and ended up finishing second. And I mentioned this many months ago, but I'll remind you again. In my neighborhood, we even have a Alonso school. So I may have to stop there one day and find out if they have a class in how to win friends and influence team owners. Okay, MotoGP returns to India. Dorna, Spanish-based promoter of MotoGP, and I'm sure you know Liberty Media has bought commercial rights to MotoGP also. So they have now cut the middleman in India, a company called Fair Street Sports, and done a deal directly with the state of Uttar Pradesh, aka UP, for the return of MotoGP from 2025 to 2027. I say, since Goa is a destination city, let's bring back the Indian F1 Grand Prix to a street race in this coastal town. And you know, Goa used to be a Portuguese enclave once upon a time. I have an idea. To inaugurate the new circuit, they can invite Sebastian Vettel, and instead of cutting a pink ribbon or releasing bumblebees, he can cut a fresh green cucumber. What do you think?
It sounds refreshing because it's going to be hot.
Absolutely. Okay, sir. Now, sir, we will bring another interview, which I enjoyed very much talking to this gentleman, Signor Renato. What happened at Monaco? Actually, today's three interviews are from that trip. So I'm walking in this pit lane, and there is this 1982 Alfa Romeo car, which I remember very well. Andrea de Cesaris, of all the people, put on pole position at Long Beach. And there's a gentleman sitting there wearing sort of a racing driver uniform, but you know, the overalls. And I thought he was like either team owner or the driver or the guy who owns something to do with the car. So I asked him, is this the car from the 1982 Long Beach Grand Prix? Man, he takes out his photo, and this guy is in our age group. And he takes out a photo and shows me a picture of this car in the pit lane at Long Beach Grand Prix with him standing there. And of course, he was looking like you and I were looking in 1982. So we started talking, and one thing led to another. And I really enjoyed talking to him. So I would like to thank Signor Renato for his time. And I hope listeners also enjoy this conversation.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Monaco with Signor Renato. Renato, nice to meet you. We are standing by this car, Alfa Romeo, De Cesaris drove. Tell us a little bit about the history of this car, please.
Yes, the story is Alfa Romeo Formula 1 182 and motor 12-cylinder Alfa Romeo and gearbox Yuland, Alfa Romeo Yuland, inside Yuland and exterior Alfa Romeo. And I am racing this car chef mechanic from Alfa Romeo from De Cesaris in 82-83.
And this car was on a pole position in Long Beach, which I remember very well, and you showed me a picture of you standing by this car. How good was De Cesaris? I know he was very quick, but also crushing a lot, and I remember he spun out in this race.
No, in Long Beach don't have crash of the pole position, but in race have a problem to the oil tank. Is going back the oil from tank and slip the car and go in guardrail.
Yeah. Now, did you work with Bruno Giacomelli also?
Yes, he's my friend Bruno, yes. I have the car from Bruno Giacomelli in my factory. It's another 182, complete rebuilt, new engine, all the part new. It's the same when De Cesaris and Giacomello race in 82 in Alfa Romeo.
And where is your factory in Italy?
My factory was before IDM Motorsport. I am team manager from Formula 3000. My team winning three championship 3000. I am winning two championship in Formula 3. And after in this moment, I don't have interest to race. And I construct just the part for the formula, wishbone, and all other part. And I construct the engine, Alfa Romeo, just 12-cylinder and 8-cylinder turbo.
Now, Alfa Romeo had a very famous test track at Balocco, and I've been to the Alfa Romeo Museum in Arese. Is the Balocco track still there?
Yes, Balocco. Today, Balocco is from Fiat, not Alfa Romeo. Before, when Autodelta Alfa Romeo race, this track was complete for test and for Formula One and prototype.
Okay. Speaking of Autodelta, I see the sign there. The name Carlo Chitti is classic in motor racing. Did you work with him?
Yes, I have worked for Carlo Chitti too many years, 20 years, before in engine man and after chassis man. Yeah. And I have worked to Carlo Chitti, Gerard Ducarouge, and another Gustav Brunner.
Yes, Austrian. Now, you remember Carlos Reutemann? I was talking to Carlos Reutemann, and he said to me that Carlo Chitti was very passionate about motor racing. Can you talk a little bit about Chitti?
I think Chitti is one from the best engineer in motorsport. They have don't have possibility to modification your idea. They have one idea and this have to work.
And how was working with Gerard Ducarouge?
I have worked in 82, 81, and the end of 81, 82, in 83, and after the race in Paul Ricard, mistake with Alfa Romeo, because don't have the extintor in normally, you understand?
Yeah.
And this disqualification from Alfa Romeo.
Yeah. Okay, now there was tragedy for the Alfa Romeo team in 1980 Hockenheim Ring, when Patrick Depailler had his accident and lost his life.
I'm sorry. The accident in
Depailler. It was Patrick Depailler.
The accident in Depailler, I don't worry, no. I was not in Hockenheim.
Okay. Did you know him, Depailler, as a driver, as a person?
Yes, Depailler was a very fast driver, very fast. But because Depailler had a big accident in flight, yeah. And after this accident, don't have normal movement for the Formula One car, but were very fast.
Italy is very famous for motor racing, you know, Nuvolari, Scuderia Ferrari, Alfa Romeo, Lancia, Monza. First world champion came from Italy, Farina, and then no Italian world champions since Ascari 53. What will it take to have another Italian world champion? Do you think Kimi Antonelli can do that?
Yes, Kimi is a very fast driver. He's young, but I think he's one. They have many possibility to go in Formula One. I don't think this year, but next year is a good solution.
Okay. Now, you've been in motor racing for a while. Of all the drivers you have seen in Formula One come, with your team and other team, who were the drivers that impress you most?
One from my driver is, they have raced in Formula 3000, is Jimmy Bruni. Bruni have raced for my team, for ADM Motorsport. And was in second position in championship, but the last two races, Minardi lift my driver, my Formula 3000 driver, for testing in Formula One. And after I don't finish the championship, the last two races, and I forget the championship.
Now, what do you think about this kid called Max Verstappen? Max Verstappen, what do you think of him?
Max Verstappen is a very quick driver. He's too much natural to race. I think in this moment, with the Red Bull car, don't push 100%. I think they go up 90% maximum. I think have more chance to go faster.
Wow. Now, of all the tracks you went to, I remember Alfa Romeo was on pole at Watkins Glen also. Of all the tracks you went to...
I was here in Watkins Glen.
When they were on pole?
Yes, I have the photo from I look for okay. After.
Very good. Now,
Broking in Watkins Glen, Giacomelli broking the coal, just in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. Now, question I have, of all the tracks that you went to in Formula One racing, what was the most difficult track to set up the car?
It's difficult to speak one circuit and not another. I think Hungaroring is difficult. Another is, I think, Monza and Imola. This is the three for me. Difficult circuit.
Yeah, I'm surprised you said Monza is mostly straight.
Now, Monza have it's not just you go right
straight.
Mm-hmm. You have to brake, and in the first corner you have to brake, have engine and the gearbox, differential and brake. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a normally brake to the disc.
Yeah.
You have to brake to engine and the gearbox.
Yeah.
This is difficult.
And what was your impression? I went to in Watkins Glen for the first time last year. I really loved the place. What was your impression of Watkins Glen circuit?
Watkins Glen is a good circuit. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. It's a for me was a good circuit. But after the politic is not sport and politic is not the same, and in the States is Detroit, Long Beach, in this moment Miami, and that was 5, 6, 7 Grand Prix.
Yeah.
In 82, two race in America, stop, finish.
Okay, last question. What part of Italy are you from originally, and where do you live these days, if you don't mind sharing?
What
part of Italy are you from originally, and where do you live now?
I am originally from Milan.
Oh, Milano.
Yeah.
And are you still living there?
Yes, I live in Bareggio.
Okay, thank you so much. Very nice talking to you.
Renato, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Nasser, keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Now we move on to one of the greatest tracks anywhere on this earth. It's called Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. And this also is a track that I must visit in my lifetime. And now that winter is approaching, it probably will default to next season. But the IMSA cars were there, so this is a little result from the GTP ranks. Penske Porsche 1-2 with Nick Tandy and Mathieu Jaminet, who is from France, and Nick Tandy is from England. Nick had a racing brother, Joe, who was killed in a road accident when he was only 26 years old. The sister Porsche car was driven by ex-Sauber F1 driver Felipe Nasr and Dane Cameron. Acura of Felipe Albuquerque and Ricky Taylor was third. Sir, there is no Formula One. Anything you want to say about Formula 2, Formula 3, Indy cars, whatever?
I think everything is wonderful. I have not watched IndyCar or anything else, and the Olympics have been dominating pretty much everything we see over here, especially on NBC that usually carries those products. But no, it's the summer break and the summer breeze. No, I'm enjoying it. A little break is always good. I'm reading up on what's going on in the background, of course, of Formula One and all these surprises. So there's more surprises to come. Of course, I've sent my condolences to Fernando, knowing that there is no more championships. There are no more podiums. The final curtain is here. So, no, we'll see what happens. To be honest with you, I think strange things are around the corner. I'm not even sure Max will ever go to Mercedes. Max could be a Red Bull guy and then just go home.
Well, I was thinking about it. There are drivers, very good drivers, who know they can win the car. They can win the championship in the best car, right? But there is an asterisk in that statement. In fine print, it says, as long as Senna, Schumacher, Max, Lewis, Alonso is not my teammate, okay? Then you have drivers like Machismo. We're talking about drivers who are racing today. Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen. They're not concerned about who their teammate will be, okay? They know if they get in the best car, they have a very good chance and most likely will win the championship. So I was actually thinking pretty hard on this when I read that Giampiero Lambiese GP leaving. If Newey is gone, GP is gone, Honda is gone, what have they got there for Max? Like Dr. Mark said to me, we have Max. But what does Max has if these people are gone? So I can see him win the championship this year. He will have a very good chance, even if his car is competitive as McLaren and Ferrari and Mercedes. Max being Max, he can still bully his way to win the championship. So four in a row is done deal as far as I'm concerned. Fifth is a very possibility. But man, once they have the blue oval, then I think he will be in a blue funk. Not because of blue oval, because it's their first time coming and Red Bull is building their first engine. So I think 2026, he needs to be out of that team. And I don't know if Ferrari will take him as teammate to Lewis Hamilton, but I think George has been at Mercedes for a long time. And if they get this thing going at Mercedes, then that will be a very good option for him. What say you? Well, I was thinking about it. There are drivers, very good drivers, who know they can win the car. They can win the championship in the best car, right? But there is an asterisk in that statement. In fine print, it says, as long as Senna, Schumacher, Max, Lewis, Alonso is not my teammate, okay? Then you have drivers like Machismo. We're talking about drivers who are racing today. Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen. They're not concerned about who their teammate will be. Okay, they know if they get in the best car, they have a very good chance and most likely will win the championship. So I was actually thinking pretty hard on this when I read that Giampiero Lambiese GP leaving. If Newey is gone, GP is gone, Honda is gone, what have they got there for Max? Like Dr. Mark said to me, we have Max. But what does Max has if these people are gone? So I can see him win the championship this year. He will have a very good chance, even if his car is competitive as McLaren and Ferrari and Mercedes. Max being Max, he can still bully his way to win the championship. So four in a row is done deal as far as I'm concerned. Fifth is a very possibility. But man, once they have the blue oval, then I think he will be in a blue funk. Not because of Blue Oval, because it's their first time coming, and Red Bull is building their first engine. So I think 2026, he needs to be out of that team. And I don't know if Ferrari will take him as teammate to Lewis Hamilton, but I think George has been at Mercedes for a long time. And if they get this thing going at Mercedes, then that will be a very good option for him. What say you?
It's possible. It's possible. Like I said, we'll see what happens. We'll see how frustrating the rest of the season will be for Max. I know he can settle down and accept things once he can and does it. But in the meantime, it's going to be very interesting. And the worst part is we're going right to Zandvoort in front of the Orange Army. And if they can't get pole position and a win at Zandvoort, it's going to be ugly. Joss, the boss, is going to be screaming. Max is going to be screaming. His engineer is going to be screaming. It's going to be one loud race. So I can't wait. That's all I've got to say.
You know, I don't think this will happen. And I repeat, I don't think this is going to happen. But if Max does not win the world championship this year, I think he's going to choke Christian Horner.
I can see that. Yes, he's going to blame Christian Horner and everybody else, and he's going to throw him under the bus.
Yes. Okay, sir. Now let's do our third conversation of the week. This with Señor Adrian Fernandez. You know, I watched his career when he came to the U.S. from Mexico, and he was in Indy Lights. And I remember he used to drive for Rick Gallus's team out of New Mexico, and he was doing a very good job. And just like with other drivers, like especially Elio Castroneves, even before they got to Indy cars, you knew this guy was good and he's going to win races. He never won the Indy 500, but he won at Michigan and some other races and was in Indy cars for a long time. And I met him and he was very friendly and very nice. Their family is based most of the time in Miami, and he said his son is playing soccer, so he does come to Tampa area quite a bit. So I hope listeners enjoy this conversation with Adrian Fernandez, and we thank everybody for listening to F1 Weekly.
Okay, folks, I'm in beautiful Monte Carlo with Señor Adrian Fernandez. Adrian, good to meet you. How are you today?
I'm good. A little sad that we couldn't raise our VRM. Due to some transmission issues, they didn't have the part, but it's my first time in the historic race here in Monaco, and it's just an amazing event, and I definitely want to come back.
Same here. Mexico has a Grand Prix winning driver on the grid. It all started with Pedro Rodriguez. He drove his beautiful Tony Southgate designed car. Feelings and emotions in getting in the cockpit of his car.
Well, the DRM is an historic piece, and to have the privilege of being able to not just buy it, because I managed to convince Jaime, who sold it to me, but to actually race it here in this beautiful place like Monaco, and with so much history, it's very, very special. Especially because Pedro was the guy who started it all for us in Mexico, put the name of Mexico internationally everywhere in the world. And I'm very proud to have driven his car around this beautiful place.
His brother Ricardo was also very quick.
Yes. Unfortunately, we lost them both. Ricardo, we lost him very, very early, way, way too early. And also Pedro, I mean, he was like, I think, 31 or something like that. Just very sad. I always say that, what would it be of my career if Pedro would have come with me to Europe when I was trying to get into racing here? With not much help or support. And I think Pedro would have been a great guidance in my career.
Yeah. Now, safety standards back in the 60s and 70s were very different than today. When you drove this car, what were the biggest surprises for you?
How physical it is. I mean, extreme.
No power steering?
No power steering. No, the car is pretty hot inside. I'm going through, I mean, the car is pretty quick. But you have the radiator on the front, so and this, the tubes for cooling goes on the side of. So the cockpit is quite hot. And you're going very fast, you know, and there is no, because it's, you're like in a tunnel through the whole racetrack around Monaco. There is no much breathing room, and you're always working the gears. You have to press the clutch, shifting down, shifting up. heel and toe breaking down. I mean, it's like non-stop, so it's very, very demanding physically, but all at the same time exciting, and it gives you the perspective of speed and what these drivers did in the old days. So my hat out to them.
I was looking at that car and I was wondering what it would be like at Spa.
Oh my God, where Pedro won with a similar car like this. Unbelievable, the speeds and everything. You know, and these cars, they move quite a bit in the fast corners. So, I mean, it's just amazing what they did. And it's just a beautiful car to drive.
You know, I've heard rumors in the press about this car and Pedro's win. Some people claim it had a 16-cylinder engine. Have you ever heard those rumors?
Yeah, I did. And I've seen those engines, but I think that's just a rumor. But Pedro was a fantastic driver. He was a class act guy. And very proud of what he did for us. And it's just a privilege, like I said, just to be here, honoring his career, honoring what has happened in Mexico in racing. And I'm just very happy to have one of the car's most iconics that he drove in his career.
Have you seen his drive in the rain at the famous BOAC 1000 Brands Hatch?
Yeah, that's another car that I would love to have. That's a little bit more expensive. But it's just a beautiful car, and he was the master of the rain in that car. And that race, Brands Hatch, which I raced in Formula 4 1600 in the old days, in the 80s. Pedro made history in with his driving style in the rain.
How many, if I may ask, how many classic cars you own right now?
This is the first one. I want another one now. I'm getting hooked here since I came here, so I would like to have another one so I can race two races here.
Man, I hope you get one of those Gulf-colored Ford GT40 or Porsche.
I know, those are beautiful. Yes, absolutely. I mean, but they're hard to drive. I mean, they're hard to get, and nobody wants to sell them. I know Bruce Canapp, a friend of mine, has one, but they're unique pieces.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, racing in the streets of Monte Carlo going for almost 100 years. How is this street circuit compared to Long Beach, where you have raced?
I say the biggest difference, you know, you have the walls, and Long Beach is definitely not as smooth in terms of tarmac as Monaco. But the biggest difference is the elevations. We don't have that we don't have elevation in. It's practically flat in Long Beach. So that's the biggest thing. So that gives in Monaco, it gives you, especially going into the casino, it gives you a much more sense of speed, because it's never straight, it's always turning.
Something tells me Long Beach has better tacos and burritos than Monte Carlo.
Yeah, but Monte Carlo is such a special place because it's, I mean, look at these cities, all built around us on the rocks, and it's just tunnels. I mean, just to get through here, through the city while there is a race, it's quite something. It's like a maze.
Can you imagine this place on a Formula One weekend?
No. That's why they say this is the best weekend for Monte Carlo, for the best the race, the atmosphere, the people, the time that you spend here is just beautiful. So it's, and I agree, you know, it's less hectic and more enjoyable.
Speaking of Long Beach, you had great success in American racing. Looking back on your racing days, what are you most proud of?
I think all my achievements, especially when it was tough to get to the next level. You know, the start of my career was a struggle internationally because I didn't have the help or the financial help that I needed. So I work as a mechanic, and I had to really go through a lot of steps and barriers to cross before I really made it to Indy cars. So obviously the first win of Indy Lights was very special, because that mark was very, very important to get to my next step, which was IndyCars. And then obviously my first win in 96 in IndyCars to prove myself that I was a competitive driver, and then fighting for the championship with Gil DeFerran and finishing second in the championship. And I would say maybe the most special one, you know, Japan, the first two wins, back-to-back Motegi IndyCar wins, they were very, very special. But I think a little bit more special is the wins that I did with my own team, with Fernandez Racing. You know, my first win was in 2003 in Portland, owning my own team, being a driver and everything, that's very special. And then we became champions with Luis Diaz in 2009 in the American Le Mans Series LMP2.
Okay, great. Now, in IndyCar racing in the U.S., when you were racing, who were some of the guys, drivers you respected on the track most in terms of talent?
You know, there were so many good drivers in our era. I mean, the 90s, I think it was the golden years of IndyCars. We have so many good drivers. You know, Mario Andretti, Emerson Fittipaldi. Then we had Nigel Mansell. We had Paul Tracy. We had Juan Pablo Montoya came. Then Zanardi came. Franchitti. You name it. I mean, we had so many. I mean, it was full of stars and ex-Formula One drivers like Teo Fabi, Stefan Johansson, many top drivers, you know, and the legends, you know, Mario Andretti and Fittipaldi and even AJ Foyt.
Any series that has Paul Tracy and Montoya got itself something special?
Montoya
and Tracy.
Yeah. They're cut with the same knife, both of them.
Yeah, and if you throw in Robbie Gordon, it gets even better.
Yeah. You have the three roughest guys.
Yeah. Okay, now, looking ahead, we need a scoop, please, and maybe you can help us. Is Checo staying with Red Bull for 2026?
I have no clue. I don't know. I mean, I'm not that close to Checo anymore, but I wish him well. It's an interesting time in Formula One with all the changes. It's just the problem with the rookies, they don't have much of an opportunity these days because it's becoming so technical and there is no testing for them to prepare them. So it's the teams have to invest like 1 to 3 years on them to prepare them. So it will be interesting. I will think that Checo will stay another year at least in Red Bull.
Are there any young other Mexican drivers who might follow in the footsteps of Pedro and Checo?
I don't see anything right now. There is a few on the oven, but they have to prove themselves, like winning more, like, you know, get the attention of everybody. There's a few of them, but yet we haven't seen one that has the material, Formula One material. Hopefully this year in Formula 3 and F3 and F2, we can find somebody that can because, I mean, Checo is not going to be there forever, obviously. So we need somebody that can follow his steps.
What is your opinion on this express train called Max Verstappen? Your opinion on
Max?
Max.
Oh, he's an incredible driver. He's just so unique and so talented, and now he's in a point where he doesn't make any mistakes, and he's just so consistent. It's one of the top drivers, and you know, I don't like to compare drivers from different eras because the danger part of it plays a big part of it. But what he's doing with his the only thing you can prove is how he does compared to his competitors, how other great drivers in different eras have done it, and he's definitely crushing his competition. And even with Lewis Hamilton, even when Lewis had still the advantage on the car, he still beat him, and he gave him a big run for his money. He won the championship, and under, you know, different circumstances, but still, you could see that Verstappen was built just differently. Just the way his racecraft is just amazing. How he goes for every single gap is just incredible.
You mentioned the name Mario Andretti. You know, I think, personal opinion, Formula One is treating him with a lot of disrespect in not giving his team an entry. What say you?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's happening a little bit what happened with Kart. You know, they became too cocky. And that's how we lost it. They never thought we could lose what we had. And we lost it all.
Yeah.
I mean, IndyCar right now is probably, one hundredth of what it used to be?
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing compared to what it used to be. It was so big. The budgets were so big. Everything was, I had sponsors line up behind to take a spot of Tecate and Quaker State and Telmex. And it's just so different. And it's just a shame. And that could happen to Formula One if they're not careful. Obviously, they have this financial, they have the teams. There's so many interests, and it's the same with Kart. Every owner had their own interest, and they were not pulling in the same direction. And it's a little bit like that. The teams have their own interest, And I think it's just not. I mean, I understand some part of the owners, but there has to be a solution. And they should be a. I mean, I understand that you just can't just suddenly come and get the fruits of something that you haven't been part of it. But I'm sure there is a solution. It could be a solution, a formula, whatever you want to call it. But definitely we need more cars. 20 is not enough. And definitely will be good to have the name Andretti. I mean, Andretti is, it's not just a name. It's the name in racing. Yeah. So
Globally.
Okay, last question. And this is my favorite question of the season. Will Lewis Hamilton win championship number 8 in a red car before Fernando Alonso wins championship number 3 in a green car?
I think that will depend on Charles Leclerc. I think. I mean, in my opinion, he's still a very good driver. But I think the problem for Lewis will be Charles Leclerc, in my opinion. I think once Charles has a better car than he has now and gets a consistent, I think Lewis will make him even a better driver. I think he's very talented. I feel that his problem will be Charles Leclerc. So it will be interesting.
You said you live in Miami. I'm assuming you were at the Miami Grand Prix. What's your opinion
of the Grand Prix of Miami? Okay. Never been, and I'm not planning to go.
Why is that?
It's a party. I like the real racing. This is real racing. Yeah. And I like most of the fans that go there. They have no clue about racing.
Yeah.
It's a show. It's an opportunity to take pictures. And you know, I from everything I've seen and everything, I like this. You know, like when we're changing in the pits, and this is racing, and that's what I love. So I don't like that glamour in that respect. I like the real. You know, I like to go to Spa-Francorchamps. I like to go to the old track. Imola, Monza.
Now you're talking my language.
Yeah. So Las Vegas is another way. It's another one. It's almost like, do you want to go to a show? Okay, that's different. But to a race, in terms of race, you know, in the atmosphere with the people and all that, it's just all a show. Even the people who goes there, I mean, the celebrities that they go there, they just go there to take a picture. You ask them a question about racing, they have no clue.
Yes.
So
Martin Brundle can confirm that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So disrespectful. It's horrible. I hate to see that. It's horrible. I don't know how the organizers are allowed to do that. I mean, it's so disrespectful. I mean, they don't even belong there.
Yeah.
And then they go there because they are, you know, famous for this or for that. But this is not your sport. And to this, they don't even know who's Mark Blondin. Come on, give me a break. Even remember when they tried to sack Jackie Stewart in Miami?
Oh, of course.
I mean, so insulting. I don't like that. I just don't like that. I don't like to see those things. So I'm old-fashioned guy. And I like the real racing. And that's how I became a driver. I was a mechanic. I went through the whole thing. And, you know, my success was built around a lot of passion. And not a lot for racing. And that's how I made it.
I totally agree with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. And nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
See you in Tampa.
Adrian, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And to everyone out there, thank you and good night.